good morning. It's 11:15, and you're listening to On the Air with Glenn Coble. And I had a call during the break. Are we going to have Swap Shop? And yes, we are going to have Swap Shop at 12:15. And if you have something that you're interested in selling, or you know, an announcement that you'd like to give, and we already have three announcements that we're going to give, so get in line. Give us a call, 740-383-9944. Again, that's Swap Shop at 740-383-9944. We'd love to hear from you. As a matter of fact, we're doing a little bit of trivia today. We're just kind of goofing off, all right? My puppy dog and I watched the Cubs win last night, and we forgot to do anything. Well, we did prepare the trivia stuff, usually what happens on at my house on Monday, Tuesday nights is the doggie and I sit there and we think, and I get out my computer and I start working on what I'm going to do on the shows, and well, the Cubs have been winning, so the last couple of nights I've been watching the Cubs, and I kind of goofed off, all right? So we're doing trivia. But, yes, we will have Swap Shop to the lady that called in, and we'll have it at 12:15 or roughly around 12:15. We'd love to have you call, 740-383-9944. If you forget those last four numbers, it's just WWGH. It's our call letters, which, by the way, stands for W. Warren G. Harding, right? An easy way to remember our phone number, at least the last four digits. All right. The last question that we had was how many red stripes there are in the American flag, and that's seven, because the one on the top and the one on the bottom are red, so there's one more red stripe than there are white stripes, which means there are six white stripes. I used to be kind of in charge of that at my last job. I kind of in charge of flying the flag, getting it up and getting it down on the right appropriate times. It's kind of interesting. You can set up an app that will tell you whether you're supposed to be flying the American flag at half staff or not. It's kind of nice to know. It's gotten a little confusing in the last 3.5-4 years because sometimes this particular administration flies it for half a day, and sometimes they don't fly it when the state flies it. So anyway, it gets a little confusing, but we're all proud of it. And I have a little one that I put in my perennial garden, which is going absolutely nuts this year. I fly it on the national holidays. I don't have a flagpole. I didn't know how to put one up and didn't want to spend the money. Anyway, where are we? Okay. The question was, what is the three-word phrase as written on Martin Luther King's gravestone? I'll give you 1 minute to respond to that, because I just gave you 15 minutes to think about it. Anyway, the next question, what is Japanese sake made from? Have you ever had sake? It's kind of interesting. It's kind of warm to your throat. It is alcohol, so I can't. I'm not a big alcohol fan. I will occasionally have something that's alcoholic other than a beer. I do drink a beer a week now. I used to drink more than a beer a week, but that's what I'm down to now. I just don't have time to go do that stuff, and there's no place to go, and my wife doesn't want me to have beer around the house. So sake is made out of rice. All right, we've got a caller here and probably going to answer that question. Hello, caller, you're on the air.
Hey, hello, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Yeah, say it again. But anyway, sake is made from rice.
Made from rice, yes, I'm sorry. As your phone was calling me, I announced that to the crowd.
Yeah, sake is made from rice. Yeah.
Okay, thanks a lot, Bob. I appreciate you calling in. Have a good day.
Yeah, you too.
Bye-bye. Yeah, he's one of our favorites. Bob calls in, you know, once or twice a week. We like to hear from Bob. We like to know he's doing fine, and he's a pretty smart guy, so he always knows the answers, and he helps us out. All right, so yes, sake is made from rice, and it's kind of warm to the throat. I wouldn't say it's really knocks you on. It's not like moonshine. It's kind of a mild, nice flavor, I guess, if you like alcohol. I'm not a big alcohol fan. All right. Speaking of alcohol, what American beer has been long promoted as the king of beers? It also happens to be my beer. Okay. Everybody knows what the king of beers is, right? Budweiser. Budweiser is the king of beers, or at least that's their slogan, right? That, you know, that's one of the things that annoys the heck out of me. So often, especially nowadays, they have these ads for all these different products, and they will tell you whatever they want to tell you, whether it's true or not. I always thought there was truth in advertising laws, and there are. But sometimes they kind of stretch them, don't you think? I don't. I do. I'm not so certain that Budweiser truly wears a crown. I doubt that it is truly the king of beers. Sorry about that. I had to hit my cough switch there because I had to cough. Now I have to sneeze, but I'm going to try and hold off on that one. All right. Which fashion designer was shot dead in the summer of 1997? Now, this one's a tough one, and I will tell you about his name was Giannini Versace, and I think he was on a boat, I believe, and the gentleman that shot him was kind of crazy, as I think anybody who shoots anybody else is kind of crazy, whether it's legally or not. I just can't imagine killing a person. Even though I was a soldier and I was taught how to kill somebody in 8 seconds, I think it was, with my bayonet. I'm very thankful I never had to do it. I was in the service during the Vietnam War, but I was very fortunate not to have to go to Vietnam. Anyway, I'm not sure how people learn to do that, and I can understand why they're not mentally healthy after they have done it several times. All right. We've done the sake thing. What type of beans are chickpeas, also known as chickpeas? Have you ever had those? They're kind of bland. I think they grind them up for things. But what kind of bean are chickpeas known as? They're known as garbanzo beans. I always thought that was something that somebody in the 50s would call his buddy, his Italian buddy, hey, garbanzo. Nope, garbanzo is the name of the bean that chickpeas are also known as. And you probably knew the answer to that. All right, this is a good one for you to call in if you want to. And we're not pushing it today. I'm just trying to get through the day, right? And I'm sorry I was so lazy today and didn't come up with some really pertinent stuff. It's just going to be... Let's hope that Swap Shop has a lot of people so you don't have to listen to all these trivia questions. But this one's kind of an interesting trivia question. And I'm going to give you 3 minutes to call in on this, because if you went to your history classes, you probably have heard the answer to this. Whether you are awake or not, that's another question, all right? I never had a problem. I always, I think I've told you this before, as a minister's son, and we always sat in the third row on the right side of the sanctuary, my father would watch to make sure we didn't go to sleep. So I was pretty good listener. So if you were listening in history class, you might know the answer to this. What country is Galileo a citizen of? And where was Galileo a citizen? What country? Okay, I'll give you 3 minutes. It's a pretty easy answer, but let's see if anybody is really bright out there. We know we have listeners because they're calling in to tell me what I've done wrong or talking about peppers and how hot they are. But maybe you want to get an attaboy, and that's about all we can give you right now. Hopefully, if we ever get this stupid virus under control, get a shot that we can take that will take care of that, hopefully we can get back to normal and you can come in and pick up some prizes. We've already had different places offer us prizes, but we have kind of turned them down because it's kind of, we really don't want people, going out and about just to pick up a prize ticket, right? All right. Anyway, we'll tell you in 3 minutes what country Galileo is a citizen of if we don't get any calls. Now, this I was watching on television last night or two nights ago, and they talked about the largest vanilla producer in the world. It was quite an interesting documentary. The largest producer of vanilla is Madagascar. Now, do you know where Madagascar is? It's an island off the southeast of Africa. It's a big island, a very big island. I would guess it's one of the top five size islands. I'm not sure of that, but I bet it's pretty close. It's a very big island. It's pretty much the dominant place to raise vanilla. And apparently, according to this documentary, the habitat for vanilla is dwindling. So therefore, vanilla is going up in price. Now, they do have all sorts of synthetic vanillas they talked about, but they are nowhere near as intense a vanilla flavor as the vanilla bean. Now, you know what you have to do to get, you get these beans and then they chop them down and they dry them, I think, maybe. And then if you get one of those beans from the grocery store and you want to get the vanilla out of the bean, you slice the bean the lengthwise and there are all these little tiny seeds on the inside. And those contain the flavor of vanilla. You scrape those out and you can use it. Vanilla is one of the most expensive spices that we have, especially if you buy real vanilla, it gets pretty expensive. Now, a lot of the stuff that you get in the the little bottles that say, and they will say they are imitation vanilla, those don't have very much vanilla in them, if they have any. They're pretty much manufactured. But honest to goodness, vanilla gets pretty expensive. And the stuff you get in the bottles is highly diluted, so it's not as strong as you would get it if you actually used vanilla right out of the bean itself. The beans are, I guess, 6 to 8 inches long. And after they've been dried or processed, they turn black. And then you slice them open. There's your vanilla. All right. We're still waiting for somebody to let us know what country Galileo is a citizen of. All right. This one you probably know I have not seen the movie, and I'm going to see the movie eventually. I'll probably, pull it up on my streaming network. Who performs the character of Mark Zuckerberg in the movie The Social Network? All right. Well, I'm going to give you the answer to this because if you've seen the movie, you know. And if you haven't seen the movie, you probably don't care. Jesse Eisenberg played Mark Zuckerberg in that movie. All right. It's 28 minutes past the hour. We're going to have to take a break here pretty soon. Boy, I'm glad I looked at the... glad I looked at that clock. Yeah, we've got about 28 seconds till we have to get. Let me give you one last question. What is the only fruit that has its seeds on the outside? If you don't know this, you're not alive. All right. What is it? Yeah, you got it right. It's strawberries. You're listening to WWGH here on the air.
Charlie, do you know because of you, more Marian residents know that flipping the bird was invented in 320 BC than in any other county in America?
Yes, but I didn't tell you the rest of the story.
What's that?
At 320 BC, in 1 minute, the fat lip was invented.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
All right, we're back here. We're on the air. That's the name of the show. I'm Glenn Coble, and I hope you're enjoying this morning. We're pretty loosey-goosey. We're kind of laying back and just doing a lot of trivia, doing a lot of talking. I like talking, obviously. Otherwise, I wouldn't do this job, right? That's one of the reasons why my wife likes to get me out of the house to do this show, so that I don't have to talk to her. Anyway, we just found out that the only fruit that has seeds on its outside are strawberries. I love strawberries. You know, strawberries are one of those fruits that, and like watermelon, they're either very good or they're just bland. I hate bland strawberries. I hate bland watermelon. I want them a little sweet, don't you? Yeah, and sometimes they aren't, and I don't know what the difference is. It probably has to do how they ripen them, I'm guessing. Kind of like tomatoes. You know, you buy tomatoes at a grocery store where you know they've been ripened. They were picked green and they were put in with other red tomatoes so that they would turn ripe. They're kind of bland, too. All right, this question, I'm just going to read right through this one, because if you don't know the answer to this one, you weren't paying attention in class, all right? What is the only metal that is a liquid at normal atmospheric pressure and temperature? Well, that's mercury. That's a metal, yeah. And if you put mercury in a cold, you know, like in liquid nitrogen or something like that, it turns hard. If you just have it out, you don't want to have it out in your hand because it can, it's deadly. But if you have it out sitting, let's see, you break a thermometer and it has mercury in it, which a lot of them I don't think have anymore. But if you do have a thermometer that has mercury in it and it breaks, don't touch that stuff. Pick it up with a cloth and get rid of it the right way. I don't know how the right way is. If you see it laying, you know, it's kind of a glob, and the mercury is liquid at our normal temperature and level. I think we're about 800 to 900 feet if you pull up a atmospheric, you know, oh shoot, I'm struggling to remember what the term of the device is that tells you how high above sea level you are. Anyway, if at 800 or 900 feet above sea level, it's going to be a liquid. All right, and that's what we are. As a matter of fact, I have an app that tells me exactly what it is, and I think it's like 860 feet where my house is. Now, things are different where your house is. All right. You know the answer to this one, too. These are a couple of pretty easy ones right in a row, okay? The only president to resign, Richard Nixon. Now, I was lucky enough. Well, I guess lucky enough. I was with the United States Army Field Band when we played his inaugural parade. And I learned to play Ruffles and Flourishes, which is da-da-da-da-da-da, you know, that one. I learned to play that on the clarinet so that I could march. Because I was a vocalist. I was not, I know that's hard to believe, but I was the last guy into the Army field band. Different people, I had just gotten out of basic training and I reported to the Army field band and they needed one more person to fill out the 10 by 10 ranks for the parade. And for some reason or other, nobody wanted to do it. I found out later why that was. We stood for hours waiting to get in line for the parade. It was kind of exciting, though. I'm glad I did it. I have a picture of the parade, and I only know where I am because I was next to the bass drum. And they put me there on purpose. I'm glad I did it. Nobody else wanted to do it because we stood for probably 4 hours. We had to get up at like 5 o'clock in the morning, go down to Washington, D.C., get lined up, practice. Why you have to practice marching? I guess you do. We practiced for a while. Then we practiced ruffles and flourishes. We practiced a couple other things that we were going to play in the route. Now, I did not play the clarinet. I just let my fingers do the flying, right? So if you saw me on TV, you knew I was faking, right? And apparently I was on TV briefly with my fingers flying. Then after about 4 or 5 hours, then we went up to the parade route and started to go. But then you wait in line a long time waiting for the parade to move. I don't know if you've ever been in the Popcorn Festival parade, but I have stood for a half an hour after the parade started before I got to move because we were toward the back. I've been in that parade several times, and almost every time we are toward the back, and it takes half an hour just to once the front starts for the back end to get moving, and that's kind of what happens in the inaugural parade. There are so many units that march in that parade, and the odd thing about it is the United States Army Field Band actually was toward the front, but it still took a long time to get going. I can't remember. I would guess we marched a mile and a half down Congress. I think that was the name of the street that we marched. And then we had to know exactly what to do as we passed the reviewing stand with the president. We had to play ruffles and flourishes, and then there was some sort of salute that we had to do. But also another thing that was kind of bad about it is right around the corner, right after we went by the reviewing stand, there were protesters that were throwing stones at us. That was Vietnam wartime. And they were throwing small rocks, thank goodness. They weren't big rocks, but small rocks. And one person, I just thought it was so ironic, one person was holding up a sign that said, "Make music, not war." And I would have loved to run over to her and said to her, "What do you think we're doing?" Because we were making music, not war. That was a rough time to be in the service. And when I got out of the service, 72, I think it was, you really didn't want to be wearing your uniform out in public. People would come up to you and say really bad things. Anyway, all right, we already know which president resigned. It was Richard Nixon. In which city did Hitler commit suicide in? Now, these last three questions have probably been the simplest trivia questions I've ever heard. That was Berlin, in his bunker, right? With Eva von Braun, wasn't that his girlfriend's name, or might have been his wife by then? And I think there was probably a couple other people. All right, we have a phone call. Let's go to the phones and see what's going on. You're on the air. How can we help you?
Yes, I enjoy your show so much. I call in every once in a while.
Okay, I recognize the voice.
Oh, thank you. Have you ever read, you were talking about the flag.
Yep.
Have you ever read the thing that tells what each fold means?
What each fold means?
Yes.
No. Tell us about it. We've got five minutes.
Oh, okay. Okay, I won't keep you that long. A guy from our church read it, and I will get a copy of that and bring that in to you.
Yeah, we'd love to see that. Or you can mail it to us.
Well, it's probably cheaper just to drive down.
Okay.
Anyway, another thing that bothers me when I see a flag touch the ground, that's against the law to begin with.
Yeah, and it's also against the law to fly. It's against the flag rules. I'm not sure whether it's a law or not. You're not supposed to fly your flag without a light on it if it's during the night.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
We need to teach our kids more about that. But I'll drop that off to you. But
all right.
If I see a flag touching the ground, I'll go pull it up and stick it down enough that
Yeah.
It's just one of my things in life. Okay, I'll drop that other one.
Okay.
Okay.
I would love to read that. I didn't know there was background on the folds of the flag.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I will.
Okay, thanks a lot. Enjoy the show so much.
Thank you. Thank you for calling in.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Bye-bye.
We're having a good morning with some people calling in, giving us all sorts of information. I really didn't know that there was any. I've read a lot about the flag because I was kind of in charge of that at my last place of work, which was a credit union here in town. But I didn't know that there were specific meanings, I guess, for when you, I assume she means when you fold the flag, you know, you fold it into a triangle, and I'm guessing that's what she's talking about. But we'll find out. She's going to bring it down and drop it off at the station, and we'll find out. And it might be something that we talk to you about next week or the following week. If we get it, we'll try to explain that to you. There are lots of different rules. You know, you're not supposed to wear a flag as a drape or a cloak or anything like that. So I guess technically when our Olympic winners drape the flag around them and wear them kind of as, they're kind of technically not supposed to do that. I'm not sure that anybody would ever complain about one of our Olympic stars doing that. Which reminds me, I don't think I've ever told this on the air. I have very athletic children, and one of the reasons why they're athletic is because of their grandmother, not their dad, but their grandmother. My mother actually ran in the Olympic trials in 1936, or before 1936. Probably it was 1935 when they had the trials for the 36 Olympics, which, by the way, was the one where Jesse Owens ran. So anyway, she was a very fast sprinter. She did not go. She wasn't that fast. But we do have some athletic background in my family. Now, that's the way the tail goes in my family. Do you have those? Do you have tails that everybody tells down through your years? And I looked it up, and I really think that she was not in the one with Jesse Owens. I think she was in the one prior to that. My mother was born in 1910, and so therefore she would have been 26 years old. I guess it could have been possible. I thought maybe the legend down through the family got changed to 36 because of Jesse Owens, but I guess I'll never know, and I've tried to look it up, who all the people were that were in the time trials, and there's no place really to find that for back then. But anyway, that's the tale that's come down through my family over the years, and I do know that my mother was a very fine athlete, and she was about 5'6", I think. So that was pretty tall for a woman of that time. And my my daughter is 5'9", which is pretty tall. Not 6 foot, but her son is 6'5". So there is some tall in my family. Unfortunately, my best athlete grew to be as tall as his father, 5'11". And he will never forgive
Scott,
me.
You know, we hear so much about Bernie Sanders being a socialist. But actually, one of the first big socialists to run for president came from right here in Marion, Ohio.
Oh, yes, Norman Thomas.
Yes, and did you know Norman Thomas also sold ice cream?
No, I didn't know that.
Yes, he was the first ice cream socialist.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
/180/111, and I had a stroke. I couldn't speak. I'd walk.
150/90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed.
Brought to you by the American Stroke Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
All right, we're back here. You're listening to On the Air. I'm Glenn Coble. You're listening to WWGH 107.1 FM. And I was just mentioning that my youngest son never will forgive me for being the shortest male in my family. He's 5'11". But he could dunk even at 5'11". He was obviously the best athlete in my family. My other two children were very, very good, but they weren't quite as good as Andrew. Anyway, okay, we talked about, okay, blah, blah, blah. Okay. In ancient Greece, throwing an apple at someone was a declaration of what? Now, it doesn't say a rotten apple. It just says throwing an apple at someone. What is that a declaration of? Well, it's a declaration of love. Okay? I'm not sure. Apples can be pretty hard. You hit your girlfriend with an apple on the head, and she's not going to see it as a declaration of love. She's going to see it as a declaration of war, I think. But anyway, that's what it used to be somewhere. In ancient Greece, that's what it was. Now, that apple that hit, what's his name, on the head? Galileo on the head. Oh, by the way, we never did tell you what country he was from. Let's go back and tell you. It was Italy. When the apple hit him on the head, it made the world a smarter place. I hope this trivia stuff that we're giving you today is making you a smarter place. we are going to go here in about 25 minutes at about quarter after 12. We're going to go over to Swap Shop, and we'll continue our trivia, but I already have a couple of people that have called me about when Swap Shop is on, and I have three events that we've been told to put on Swap Shop. So if you have something that you want to advertise on Swap Shop, make sure you give us a call. If you get a busy signal, call back, because that means somebody else is already telling us what they're trying to swap. Time, we prefer that you not, well, we require that you not try to sell something that requires a license or some sort of registration, you know, like your car, your house, a gun, a boat. So we won't take those things. But anything else that you're selling, or if you have a not-for-profit organization that's having some sort of event that you want to announce, please let us know. And if you want to write in and give us the information via postal service, write. Are you ready? You got a pencil ready? WWGH Radio, 165 West Center Street, Suite 208, Marion, Ohio, 43302. Okay, now I saw that one person running to get a pencil and didn't get it in time, so I'm going to do this again, all right? WWGH Radio, 165 West Center Street, Suite 208, Marion, Ohio, 43302. And you can send those in. And if you put, you know, if you only want it on Swap Shop, you know, if it's an item you're trying to sell, put on the envelope Swap Shop or something like that. It'll just automatically get given to me. So now if you have something you want us to announce, you know, an event or something, we'll try to event or announce our events that are nonprofit events throughout the day. So give us a letter or a call on those things. All right. This is kind of interesting. Who wrote the songs for Lion King? Now, the Lion King was really famous, so I'm guessing there are a lot of people out there that know the answer to this. So I'm going to give you 3 minutes to respond to that if you want to, and if not, I will tell you who wrote the songs for Lion King in about 3 minutes, okay? What U.S. newspaper is nicknamed the Gray Lady? Now, I had never heard this before. And I don't know how it got that name, and it doesn't tell me on my trivia list here. But the Gray Lady is the nickname of the New York Times. I had no idea. Now, gray is probably a color that is questionable. Maybe it was given that nickname because they used to write things that were kind of gray. I remember reading about the yellow journalists when I was younger, but not gray journalists. But anyway, that's the nickname for the New York Times, is the Gray Lady. Now, the New York Times has become very influential recently and are considered a very fine newspaper. All right, now, this is kind of interesting. What was the real first name of Marilyn Monroe? Now, I had an interesting event where when I was traveling with the DePaul basketball team, we actually visited the bungalow that she lived in when she passed away. I actually got to sit on the bed where she passed away. Little tiny bungalows in Hollywood. And I'm sure it was very expensive, but it was shocked to me how small it was. Anyway, Marilyn Monroe's real first name, and actually its first names, were Norma Jean. And there's, I think there's an Elton John song that refers to her real name. Norma Jean was Marilyn Monroe's original name. What country has the most vending machines per capita? This is a good one. Do you watch America's Pickers? I watch that occasionally. Well, not occasionally. I watch it quite often. And they're always finding vending machines. And vending machines are kind of, to me, they're kind of interesting. I kind of like vending. And if I had lots of money and I was a collector, I think vending machines would be one of the things I would collect. That and banks. I love banks. One of the things I do have a lot of is old marbles. And I have no idea if they're worth anything. But I have a jar that's probably got 300 old marbles in it. Somebody told me if I had one that was agate, I think it was, they're worth a lot of money. Why would anybody pay a lot of money for an old marble? Oh, well. The country that has the most vending machines per capita, and this just seems logical, is Japan. They, you know, have you ever seen pictures of the business areas of Japan? There are flashing lights everywhere, and kind of reminiscent of old vending machines. But the new vending machines, I'm sure, make life a lot easier. You don't have to hire somebody to hand out the food. You just put it in a machine and let them put their money in. And have you ever knocked over a vending machine? I did one time by accident. I was so mad at it because it wouldn't give me my candy. And it was a fairly small vending machine. I didn't mean to knock it over, but I was mad at it, and I kicked it, and it kind of got a little overwrought, and it fell. Anyway, I hope the people that had that, I don't think it broke, but I think it just fell over on its side. All right. What is the most populous city in the United States? Boy, they have really gotten easy on me here in these later trivia questions. This one is real obvious. It's New York City. It's the most populous city in the United States. You know, and if you start looking at all these population things, it depends on whether it's a metro area, whether they count it as all of the metro area, or whether it's just inside the city limits, whether it counts. I don't know. But anyway, the trivia god that answered this said New York is the most populous city in the United States. It's not the biggest city in the world, which it used to be. There are lots of cities that are as big as New York City throughout the world. Which fruit floats because 25% of its volume is air? I just bought a bag of them yesterday. No, it's not potatoes. Apples. 25% of apple is air? Do you go out to Lawrence Orchard and buy your apples out there when the season is ripe? I do. I love going out there. And those apples, especially if you can buy the ones from their orchard, are they good? Yeah, and it's kind of fun to go out there and just shop around in their little shop. It's out there on, I forget the name of that road, Stelzer? Yeah, it's out there. Anyway, you go out past the driving range, and it's on your left out a couple miles. Only got about three more minutes, and so we'll get through a couple more of these questions, and then we'll call it a day, and then we'll go into Swap Shop for the next hour, all right? What is the brightest star in the sky? Well, it's Sirius. No, I mean Sirius. That's the name of it. Sirius. Sirius. You know, last night my wife and I were walking our dog, and there is a planet, because it doesn't blink. There are actually two planets. Very close. One of them is very, very bright. The other one's kind of red and not quite as bright. But I'm going to have to look that up because I questioned my wife and she didn't know who it was. So we're going to have to look that up. Where do you think, what town was the Eiffel Tower intended for? Oh, we got a caller. Let's go talk to the caller. We only have a couple seconds. So. Caller, you're on the air.
Hey,
yes.
The brightest star in the sky is Venus.
Oh, that's Venus? Okay, that's good to know. I will tell my wife. I will pretend that I'm very smart. I won't tell her you told me, all right?
Venus is the brightest star.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot. Now I know. All right. Thanks, Bob. Bye-bye. All right. It's Venus. Yeah, I think if I had thought about it longer, I might have known that. All right, we only have about a minute to go, so let me, what was the question I was going to, the Eiffel Tower was initially intended to go to Barcelona, or do you pronounce it Barcelona? I don't know. Barcelona. In which of Britney's videos does she appear as a stewardess? And I must admit, when she was first on the scene, my heart leapt to beat. But she was a stewardess in Toxic. And that was one of my more favorite videos of Britney Spears. Anyway, we're down to about a half a minute. Let's see if I got one real short one here. Carrots are a good source of which vitamin? Vitamin A. And I don't know if they really make your seeing any better, but vitamin A is the vitamin that they're good for. Well, thanks for calling in. This has been On the Air, and I'm Glenn Coble. You're listening to WWGH here in Marion, Ohio, 107.1. And make sure to tune in to Swap Shop coming up next after the break.